Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears.
Yeah!
ESPN Chicago. And this is Carmen and Yurko, live from the Old National Bank Studio. WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago. A Good Karma Brands radio station.
New year, new team, new rules. Baseball is back with bigger bases. But we assure you, Miller Lite is still the same refreshing brew you've known and loved for years. They're pouring them fast and furious at Old Crow Smokehouse. It's opening day. Opening day. This is Carmen and Yurko, live on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Been on for a couple hours. We followed Cap and Hoodie rocking and rolling here at Old Crow with Miller Lite. Come by and see us. It's opening day across the bigs. Jesse Rogers in a minute. Hoodie was like, the hell with it. I'm wearing White Sox stuff. Good for Hoodie. I said, you know, the Sox aren't playing the Cubs today, so if I'm coming to Wrigleyville, I usually pass on wearing Sox stuff unless the Sox are here. I'll bust it out on Monday for sure when we're at Wings and Rings for White Sox opening day. I just decided to rep my son's travel program.
Great city.
I met a couple of our coaches. Yeah. Christian and Toby are here. They're going to the game.
Young fellas played a little college ball. A
couple of our coaches are here from Rake City. They played college. You know, local kids who played college baseball and love them, and they're great coaches. And they're patient with the kids much more than I am, which amazes me.
You have to be.
I'm like, well, you guys don't have kids yet, so maybe that's why it's a little
easier.
They're
our future kids.
They are our future.
Children are the future.
So I rep Rake City. I said, that's what I'm going to do. And
you look good, kid.
You know, and I'll wear some White Sox stuff maybe even tomorrow, and I'm definitely wearing it on Monday.
I threw the old shirt on, the ESPN Chicago jacket that was given to us.
Well, you should have worn your Buckner jersey.
I had it out this morning. I looked at it, and I said,
it's a classic. It's the baby blue, the old Buckner.
We saw a Buckner jersey. No, it's the white with the pinstripes.
Oh, yeah. What's the baby blue one you have?
Larry Bittner.
Oh, it's a Larry Bittner. That's right.
Larry Bittner, the great Larry Bittner. Yeah. You know how great he was.
We did see another Billy Buck jersey.
Yeah, young man had a Buckner jersey. Yeah. Number two, double dudes, 22.
You don't see many Buckner jerseys anymore,
no,
man. That's awesome.
Only the smart ones appreciate it.
When you get a throwback, one gentleman came by before and looked like a younger guy. And I said, while I'm not a Cub fan and I don't like the Cubs, I said, I can respect that jersey. He was wearing a good old-fashioned number 8 Andre Dawson. I said, that one, I don't mind. Because how do you not love the Hawk?
What are you doing with a Baez jersey on? I mean, if you're
coming to
the game today and you got a Baez jersey, do you play for Detroit? What's going on? Let us. Hey, he's got a Baez jersey on.
Wait, why can't you? Yeah, Christian's got a Baez jersey on.
Your hoodie's covering it, but I could see the number. Yeah, there we go.
Why can't you wear a Baez jersey?
I saw a guy over on the left-hand side with a Baez jersey, and you got new players on the team.
Oh, stop it.
It should turn that into a Bellinger. You got the B and the E. You've got the B and the E turned into a Bellinger.
He'll be gone by July 4th.
Come on.
Or he'll be slugging .395. One of the two. I don't know that you want a Bellinger jersey.
I guess it makes more sense to wear a Baez jersey than a Buckner jersey.
Let's get to Jesse, what he thinks. Out to the CarX Tire and Auto guest hotline. Jesse's on assignment for the network, not for Cubs Brewers. Jesse, where are you?
I'm in Texas, Globe Life Field. You were talking about this stadium yesterday. Jacob DeGrom's debut with the Rangers.
Nice.
That's why I'm down here. Yeah, pretty exciting for Texas because they get Bochy in the dugout. And they get DeGrom on the mound. We'll see how it turns out.
Texas could be one of those teams. Like, Yurko and I did our predictions. Neither one of us had Texas. And I think that division's going to be really competitive and tough.
Be a bear.
Like,
this
if DeGrom stays healthy, like, that's one of those teams. And we always say this about, you know, guys that are injury prone or just teams in general. If they stay healthy, Texas is one of those teams that could be sneaky good with all they've done the last two off seasons.
Yeah, I identify Texas, the Diamondbacks, and probably the Cubs as three teams that can take that jump and maybe contend for the playoffs, maybe, if everything goes right. I think Texas won 68 games last year. So it's a huge jump for them if they can get into that 80 range, just like it's a jump for the Cubs. But Diamondbacks and Rangers are kind of the popular teams. You talk to media and stuff as teams that can make a leap, and I throw the Cubs in there a little bit as well.
D-backs have a pretty good lineup, actually. They got, and if Carroll's as good as everybody thinks, like, they do see, Ketel Marte's really, really good. Like, they do have a lot of talent down there. All right, so let's talk about our baseball teams. Let's talk about maybe even more importantly some of the rules changes. I don't know how closely everybody does watch spring training. You wrote a story, and you were giving me some of the info yesterday. You've got a story up at .com about the final results. They're good. In terms of speeding up the game, it was doing about exactly, the pitch clock was doing the same as it did in the minor leagues last year, and that's lop off about 20, 25 minutes of game time, right, Jess?
Yeah, I don't know if it'll be that much in the majors. First of all, you have longer commercial breaks. There might be a little bit more delays when there's a big moment here and there and letting players get back to positions after a foul ball. Like, I feel like it won't be 26 minutes in the majors. I could be wrong, but I think it'll be probably closer to 20. Look, if the league wanted things to happen in spring training the way that they hoped it would happen, I think that's what they saw. In other words, left-handed hitters got more hits through the holes now with the shift being eliminated. Stolen bases went up. The games were faster. Everything the league wanted, they saw in spring training. Will it all carry over to the regular season? I don't know. Will there be some unintended consequences? Can starting pitchers go 8-9 innings with shorter breaks between innings because their half innings are going to be quicker and they have to throw pitches quicker? Like, there's some things about the pitching I still think we're going to see in the regular season that didn't necessarily come up in spring training. But in general, I think the league liked what they saw and they want to see most of it carry over.
I know a lot of people that look at some of the more advanced analytics, especially the defensive stuff, and some people I really respect that have good baseball minds and opinions are very fearful that the White Sox defense is going to get worse without the benefit of the shift. At the same time, if TA plays a full season, Elvis Andrews, who's never played second but is obviously an elite athlete because he's been a shortstop for a dozen years in the big leagues, if Robert stays healthy, Benintendi and left, aren't they potentially okay defensively, or do you see disaster happening on the south side without the shift?
No, I don't see disaster. I see at best okay, though. I see league average if things are going okay. And that's fine. They're not built on defense. The Phillies, your Phillies last year were not built on defense,
right.
And they still got to the World Series.
Yeah.
The point is you better be really good at other areas like their lineup, which on paper still looks good when healthy. Their starting staff looks good on paper when healthy, though Clevinger didn't have a great spring. So I'd say they're a league average defense. And that's assuming Elvis can handle a full season at second. He's a smart player.
Right.
I saw him up close in spring training. He looked really good at second, much better than I thought he would. Those two players up the middle are both smart players. I think they'll max out on their abilities, but we know Tim Anderson's had good years and bad years at short, so we'll see. I'd say at best they're league average, and you can live with league average.
Carmen set the over-under on outfield games played by Eloy Jimenez earlier at 15.5. 15.5.
Connor said he'd go over.
Yeah, Connor said over. What would you say?
It is a great number. That's a great number. I would say under unless there's an injury. Now, if someone's hurt and you're down a couple guys and he's forced to go out there, I'm going to say under unless there's an injury. I just don't think they can put him out there in a normal sort of routine. You know what I mean? Like, we're going to play him every Tuesday. No, I think you put him out there in emergency situations when someone else has to take get off their feet, they can't run, whatever. So I'm going to say under because I just don't think Pedro Grifol and Rick Hahn are going to be that risky with a guy that can hit and can't field and can't run.
Has Eloy come to accept that as a fact, or is he still a guy that wants to be out there and he wants to play in the field?
From everything that he said in spring training, Yurko, he has not accepted it. He has not accepted it. But that's where tough conversations have to be had, and maybe over time he will. There are plenty of guys. I mentioned this to one of the shows, maybe you guys. Bryce Harper was forced to be a DH because of his injury last
right.
year. He was great. He was great.
He was great.
So, Eloy, you know what? Learn how to deal with not playing in the field and just be great at one thing. You could possibly win the MVP if you're great at that one thing. And I think he just has to accept it. I don't think he has yet, York, though.
Jesse Rogers is our guest. He is in Texas for the network, covering a pretty marquee matchup. I mean, it's the Texas Rangers and the Phils with Jacob deGrom on the mound for the first time in the American League in a Texas Ranger uniform. All right, let's talk a little Cubs, a little Northside baseball. What do you think, best-case scenario for this team, Jess? I mean, these are the divisions to be in. The Cubs and Sox reside in probably the most wide-open, gettable divisions. The others, I think, are much more stacked at the top. And while I love the Cardinals lineup, let's face it, they got holes. Their pitching staff, especially their starters, I mean, that starting five is nothing to write home about.
Totally.
So what's the best case scenario or outlook for the Cubs in 2023?
All right. Well, first of all, I think their floor has been raised. I think their floor is about 80 wins. I really do. Not everybody agrees with me. But that their ceiling may not be much more than that. That's the thing. I think they're an 80 to 85 win team. You asked me for best case. I think it's around 85, 86 wins. They're just not set up. I mean, Miles Mastroboni is your starting right fielder. Now, that doesn't mean anything months from now, but they don't have a left-handed reliever on the roster right now. They're not a perfect team by any means. They're not a contending roster. They don't have the depth that you might need. They don't have the frontline players that you might need. But if you're asking me for perfect scenarios, well, let's look at April. The Rangers come in. The Mariners come in. I mean, it's cold weather. I mean, that's a chance for the Cubs to take advantage of a lot of home dates in April, for example. The Cardinals had all sorts of guys playing in the WBC.
Yep.
Now, in some ways, that might lock a few guys in, but they're kind of scat. They're all over the place. Wainwright's hurt. A bunch of guys just came back. They're starting a 20-year-old rookie in left field. He's a good one, Jordan Walker.
Yeah.
Like, I could see a scenario where the Cardinals struggle early and the Cubs get off to a decent start. And, you know, when you're a middling team like the Sox or Cubs, a decent start matters. If you're the Phillies or the Cardinals, you don't have to come out of the box great. You'll find your way eventually. So best case means an early good start for the Cubs, and that Jed adds on middle of the summer. But I don't love their lineup. I mean, it's Hosmer, it's Bellinger, it's Mastroboni today, a 27-year-old rookie. It's not the best lineup. But pitching and defense can get you far, especially in a season where you've eliminated the shift. And I'll give them credit for that. They can pitch a little bit, and they certainly can pick the ball up. So that's where I say their floor is up. I just don't know if their ceiling is much higher than 85, 86.
I do think up the middle, that's a good point. Like, their defense is there. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's exceptional. Wouldn't you agree up the middle, Jess?
Yes. Yes, and actually, Yan Gomes was hitting in spring. We'll see if that actually carries over. But between Gomes, Bellinger, Swanson, and now Horner, who's locked up for 3 years, that's a pretty darn good up-the-middle defense. And that will win them some games. But, you know, they have an unproven closer in Michael Fulmer. There's always a but with them. There's some good things, but it's not a fully formed contending roster. It's just not.
So you talked about, like, maybe adding in the summer. If they have to go the other way, who's most likely to be subtracted? Is the obvious one Ian Happ?
Yes, that's the obvious one, and I think he would be moved. You know, he was probably a little bit, you know, close to doing it last year. But if they're out of it, he's number one on the list because he's a free agent. But Bellinger is right there as well because he's a free agent. Like, it could be any of these guys in the starting lineup, to be honest, from Yan Gomes to Hosmer to Patrick Wisman. Basically anybody in today's lineup other than Swanson and Horner is potential to be moved in July if they're not in it. And Happ is definitely at the top of the list along with Cody Bellinger.
Are you surprised Bellinger's hitting cleanup?
No, absolutely not. I think that was fait accompli at the beginning. Like, he was going to be there once they signed him. They're going to give him every chance to succeed. I do think it's a longer-term project. I mentioned this to Waddle yesterday. This is not just him fixing himself in spring training. It's going to take a bit, maybe 100 innings, Yurko. Who knows? the hitting version, 100 at bat. Mancini had a great spring, so I'm not surprised he's five. Hosmer is really a bottom of the order guy. But look, they don't have many options in the middle of the order. You're going to give Bellinger every chance to succeed. He did have some good swings in spring, but he had some bad ones. His timing was off. I think you got to give Bellinger a little bit more opportunity to find himself again, and that might take up to a month.
When we get to the end of the season, who will have been the best player in Chicago baseball?
Okay, you know what I'm going to say? Because I just love him when he's healthy, and if he actually does DH as much as I'm hoping, I'm going to say Eloy Jimenez has the best offensive year of any player in Chicago. But the caveat has to be he's on the field.
Yep.
The guy has massive power to all fields. He did get in better shape, so I think he could be a doubles machine as well. I'm going to go with Eloy Jimenez.
Hey, look, I mean, we could separate pitchers and hitters, but I mean, like, he was the best player last year. Problem is, he played 85 games or whatever it was.
Yeah,
he was the best offensive player in town last year, Jess. So I think you're right.
He has the best natural talent at the plate, even as much as Luis Robert.
Yes.
No, he's not. You're right. There's other players, Swanson at short, Robert in center. If you include defense, he's not. But he can have the best pure offensive year of anybody in Chicago.
Yeah, I agree. All right, who's your pick to win the World Series?
I have the Padres taking on the Mariners. I'm going with the Mariners. They're deep.
They're
I'm going to give it to the Padres. I know that's chalk, but they've kind of been building themselves up, and they've got so much talent. I mean, it'd be, you know, hard not to make the playoffs with that team. I'm going to take the Padres, but the Mariners are my upset pick in the AL to get there.
I think Yurko and I both picked the Padres too, right? We both agreed. Oh no, you said Yankees.
Yeah, I got Yankees.
We both have the Padres in the World Series. I picked them to win. Yurko's got the Yankees winning.
Yankees.
But we all have the Padres going. A lot of expectations. A lot of expectations. All right, Jess, good stuff, buddy. Are you going to come by on Monday?
Yes. I'm back in town tomorrow. This is just a one-day DeGrom thing. And then I'll be at Cubs Saturday. I'm going to do pre and post for the Sox Sunday, and then I'll see you guys Monday.
All right, see you Monday, buddy.
All right, take care, Yurko.
Thanks, Jess.
Day.
All right,
enjoy DeGrom today. That's a good assignment for Jesse. Get down to Texas, see Globe Life, see DeGrom pitch for the first time in a Rangers uniform. You got a thought on the baseball season, a prediction, a pick, a lock? Let us know. We're just talking baseball, having fun. We're live at Old Crow, 312-332-3776. We're going to go back down to Houston a little bit, talk to Jason Benetti, more White Sox talk. McKnight at the movies about an hour from now. We got tickets that we're giving away here at Old Crow, so make sure you stop by. Plus, the Miller Lite is ice cold. It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Opening Day, the North Side Way. Live from Old Crow Smokehouse on Clark Street in Wrigleyville. Presented by Miller Lite.
Stop by or listen live on the ESPN Chicago app on FM at 100.3 HD2 or ESPN 1000.
All right, Yurk, you want the Cubs lineup? Game one.
I do want the Cubs lineup.
Opening day. I haven't seen we're still way too far away from the White Sox first pitch.
I'm guessing Nico Hoerner.
Well, you can see it on my computer.
Well, I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, you want me to hide it? You want to guess?
How much you got? No.
All right. Nico Hoerner is leading off.
No, you got to give me the first one.
Okay. Nico Hoerner leads off and plays second. Dansby Swanson at short.
Swanson short.
Hitting second.
Right.
Ian Happ in left field. We'll hit third.
Switch hitting Thunderstick.
Cody Bellinger. Yes, the switch hitting Thunderstick. We got to get Ian Happ on so we can tell him his nickname.
I should give him Ian switch hitting Thunderstick Happ. Should have obvious shirts make that for him.
You know what? That would not be a bad obvious shirt.
Switch hitting Thunderstick.
What you should do is have obvious shirts make it like with his character.
Right.
And then like
on the back.
Just put some serious Thunderstick in.
Yeah.
That's what I would do.
I got you. You want to change it.
Well, because it's a playoff of our movie that we love.
Gotcha. We're spitballing the movie.
We love Rob Riggle's, you know, his cameo in The Internship.
Right.
And he talks about all the thundersticking that he's doing at the retirement community. I mean, it's priceless, Rob Riggle.
It is great.
So, like, that would not be a bad shirt to make. All right. So, Happ, I said, in left, hitting third. Bellinger cleans it up in center. Trey Mancini hits fifth and does the DH. Yeah. Yan Gomes behind
catcher,
the plate.
Catcher.
Is the catcher hitting sixth. Eric Hosmer at first will hit seventh. Patrick Wisdom will hit eighth and play third.
Third baseman.
And who's Mastroboni? Nice Paisan name. 27-year-old rookie, Jesse said. Well, there you go. He'll play right and hit ninth.
Right fielder.
Marcus Stroman does the pitching against Corbin Burns, who might be the best pitcher in the NL right now.
I think we can get a shirt with Mastroboni on there, too.
Yeah.
I think we can find a little something for him.
How about we get that shirt made?
Yeah.
I haven't seen a White Sox lineup yet. Like I said, that's going to be a while. They don't play till just after 6 tonight. You'll catch the game.
Mastroboni, you might lose your vision.
Here, Ani.
You'll get Harry Bones.
On your home for the White Sox.
I mean, what's going on here? Mastroboni. Are you kidding me? Is that his real name? Come on.
That was really good, Yurko. That got me about as good as anything you've said in a
while. Yeah, I'm thinking of shirts right now. I'm an idea man. You know, it's one of my strengths. A lot of ideas. I can't execute.
All right, no, in all seriousness, I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
Is that like that's a real Cubs player? I don't know that. Was he in spring training?
27-year-old rookie.
Do Cub fans know who that is? Do you recognize that
Mastroboni.
Name? Do you know who's starting in right field for you guys today? Do you know who Mastroboni is?
Mastroboni.
I mean, I feel like it's like Major League and we're reading the Indians. Back then, they were still the Indians.
Right.
His name's Dawson. Oh, his name's Andre Dawson. I thought he said his name was Dawson Mastroboni.
Yeah, Dawson Mastroboni.
I honestly don't know who that is. Shame on me, I guess. But, like, should we know? Do you know who it is?
I have no idea, Carm. You know I don't know. I barely know who the hell Wisdom is.
Miles Mastroboni.
It's Miles.
And he has never played a game in the big leagues.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure. I'm on his baseball reference page.
16 at-bats.
Where? In the big leagues? Where?
It says 16.
Where?
That's the big league stat line right there.
This is big leagues. He has never played in the big leagues, right? Has he? Or am I wrong? Oh, no. Yeah, maybe you're right. 8 games last year with Tampa. He played 8 games last year in Tampa, Yurko. 17 plate appearances. I watch the Rays a lot, but I don't recall the 17 plate appearances of Miles Mastrobono.
Yeah, September call.
So, yeah, there you go. So, at 27.
Where's he from?
He was drafted by Tampa in the 14th round of the 16 amateur draft from the University of Nevada, Reno. He was born in San Ramon, California.
All right, there you go.
And he played at Nevada.
A lot of baseball in San Ramon.
Well, they play a lot of baseball up and down California.
I don't know if you've ever been there, but they love.
I don't even know where San Ramon is.
A baseball playing state.
Yes, it is. Texas, California,
Florida. They love their baseball. Arizona is another one of those states.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. So, do you think when we see the White Sox lineup later today, we're going to see Oscar Colas in that lineup?
I hope so.
I do too.
I hope so,
but I don't think he's going to be. And I don't know if I can fault Pedro Grifol for that, but
I think if La Russa was the manager, Colas would not be playing.
I don't think he would be in a heartbeat.
With Pedro Grifols as the manager, I think you're going to see Oscar Colas tonight.
I don't know. Am I wrong? Or, like, I kind of believe in what Connor was selling. Like, at some point,
you got to find out
if
he can hit lefties.
Hey,
right?
Why not? And, like, look, he made the team. He did everything you asked of him.
Let's face it, you
resisted the temptation to call him up last year. When he made, you know, he was very good in the minors. He got the promotion to Double A. He destroyed it. And you still held back. Okay. Then you asked this of him in spring training. He did it. He made the team. Part of me feels like, you made it, kid. Here's your reward. It's opening day. We're facing a tough lefty. Go out and take 3 at-bats against Framber Valdez. 2 or 3 at-bats. I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's crazy. I'm glad you kind of agree with me.
Yeah, I do. I think he should play.
And Romy Gonzalez has played 5 games in right field. I mean,
exactly.
You're probably better off having
Colas
out there.
Remember, defense is important, too. We watched what the Baltimore Orioles did last year, the Chicago White Sox. You got to be able to track balls down. You got to be able to see it off the bat. You got to have a feeling for it. And the only way you got a feeling for it is if you spend a ton of time out there.
Yeah.
If you spend a ton of time out there, then you get a feeling for it.
The guy who finished second in Cy Young voting last year, Dylan Cease, on the mound. I believe Framber Valdez was 5th, by the way. So it's a good pitching matchup. I mean, it's opening day. Most of them are going to be good. You've got all your aces. But this is a good matchup with Cease versus Valdez, 2 of the top 5 finishers in AL Cy Young. The White Sox are still, more than $1.50 underdog, which I'm not surprised at. But they still do well against lefties. You know, even last year. Kind of a down year across the board, obviously, for the White Sox. And some of their offensive metrics, were really down even against lefties. Like, just their power sort of disappeared. A lot of that was Abreu didn't hit for a ton of power. You know, T.A. was out of the lineup a lot. Mankata had a down year. Half the season was missed by Eloy. So their power was down. Their isolated power against lefties really plummeted. But they still were, like, top 5, top 7 in most advanced metrics against left-handed pitching last year. It's one thing this team still does very well.
I remember I made a wager with you at the beginning of last year, and this was before we realized there was going to be a power outage on the south side. We were making wagers on who was going to hit home runs that day. And I had felt that the wind was going to be blowing out at U.S. Cellular, or guaranteed rate, whatever the hell they're calling it now.
Guaranteed rate. The rate.
Yeah. I felt like it was blowing out. And then that was a precursor of things to come for the year. They just had a power outage here. Today, with the weather today, who do you think goes yard for the Chicago Cubs in that lineup?
What's the wind doing?
If I was going to make a wager on one Cub doing it, I don't think there's much wind out there.
Is there not much? I mean, it didn't feel like it this morning.
It could be coming out of the west.
There's still a nip in the air, and you've got Corbin Burns on. You know, the total in the game is only 7.5. Can I cheat and look at some of the splits against Corbin Burns real quick? Or do you want me to just pick without looking?
Pick without looking.
I'm going to say,
I want a gut feeling.
If I had to pick one,
if I wanted you to study, I'd say go study. I want a gut feeling on what you're thinking today.
Ian Happ.
You got Happ. I got Wisdom.
Really? Righty?
Yeah.
Against Burns?
Yeah. Well, listen, the home runs got to come during the day. I didn't say first one. Corbin Burns might give you 6 strong, and boom, it's time to say goodbye early in the year.
Right.
So, I mean, their final 3 innings could still be a key Chicago Cub home run. So I got Wisdom. You've got Ian Happ.
I've got Happ.
The Switch Hidden Thunderstick. You go with him, and then so we got to wait.
Who do you have?
Sandwiches for tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Sandwiches. Oh. Nobody hits, we watch.
For the team.
For the team.
Right, for the team. You guys are included in that, of course. You guys want to put a name in there? You want to have a vested interest?
Wilson Contreras.
Who?
Wilson Contreras. Wilson
for St. Louis, who do they play?
You're going to allow him to pick Contreras against
St. Louis? Well, I don't care if that's what he wants to do.
Javi Baez.
Oh, okay.
Being a smartass.
I see. We've already had a Javi Baez reference today.
Well, come on. You got to be crazy to say that you can't keep your Javi Baez jersey.
There's another Baez jersey.
The guy was one of the most popular players in town.
Put Swisher on top of that.
Oh, stop it.
I'm with you, Carl. You're allowed to keep anybody. If you have a jersey from one of the World Series players, you can keep that forever.
Like, dude, if I wanted to wear my Tadahito Gucci jersey, I should be allowed to wear it. The guy helped the White Sox win a World Series.
That's right.
He had a big home run against the Red Sox. And, yes, I do have, believe it or not, I'm not much of a jersey guy.
You see the silver-haired bandit
I see the silver fox. John Cravens never misses an opening day.
Of course not.
Or an ice-cold Miller Lite. He doesn't miss those two things. I have a Tadahito Gucci jersey. You should be able to wear whatever was from your team's championship.
I'm being a smart aleck.
He's one of the most popular players in town.
Do you know that the best jersey in the world to have when a player left was my Yurkovich jersey?
Why?
Because you tear the sixes off. You had a four, and I spotted you the R, the V.
Oh, the Favre. Yeah.
I spotted you the R and V.
That makes
How
sense.
Hard are those letters to find most of the time?
Well, the V especially.
Yeah, that's my point. The R and V and Favre was spotted by Yurkovich. Yeah. Tear the sixes off. You ain't got to spend a dime barely. You go in, you take it in, you got yourself a Brett Favre jersey.
Do you think anybody actually did that?
Yes.
Like, I've seen Bulls fans turn their D. Rose jerseys into DeMar DeRozan jerseys.
Sure.
Because that one's pretty easy.
Right. That makes it easy.
Yeah.
Come there with a little scalpel, and you cut off the little things, and you got it. Because it wasn't just a nameplate. There were individual. It wasn't a plate. It was each individual letter.
It was each letter. Right,
yes.
Right. It's not just a nameplate. I see what you're saying. Did you watch the Bulls last night?
The Bulls played?
Yeah. They lost to the Lakers.
I know. They played the Lakers. They got off to a sluggish start.
They did.
It was bad early, and they were kind of chasing the whole day.
I don't know what to say about the Bulls, Yurko. I get accused of being too negative. So.
I say bad early. They had a little bit of a lead in the second quarter, but then it got bad.
Yeah,
they came back. It was 34-29.
Yeah.
They came back and took like a 42-something lead, 42-36 lead. Then it went south after
AD and LeBron were good last night.
Yeah.
312-332-3776. We're live at Old Crow. On Clark, it's Cubs opening day. It's opening day across the bigs. We're drinking Miller Lite. We'll be right back.
You are listening to an extended live broadcast of the Carmen and Yurko Show.
Live from Old Crow Smokehouse on Clark Street in Wrigleyville.
Why aren't you here? It's opening day, kids. Live on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
We are live at Old Crow. We're up on Twitch, twitch.tv. Download the Twitch app. We got a great crowd. Everybody's excited for opening day. There's still something fun and nostalgic about opening day. I don't care what anybody says. Baseball this, baseball
All the fellas
that.
From Grand Appliance are going to the ball game.
Oh, nice. They're going. Have
it's
fun, boys.
To see that. You know they're going.
Have a good time, guys.
Of course they're
going
to go.
I still think there's something fun and nostalgic.
Do we have a Sharpie?
Here,
do we have a Sharpie, too? That's
I've got one. Oh, there
Thank
we go.
You. We're good now.
Good
so
job,
we're all
Jake.
Good. We're all good with all the things we've got to go. I'm excited about today. I know you're excited
love
about
opening
today.
Day. I mean, I don't know if it's the
baseball, Ray.
Look, there are better sports days on the calendar.
Sure there are.
There are.
Yeah.
The first 2 days of the NCAA tournament is probably unrivaled.
Daytona 500.
I would pass
unrivaled.
On that one.
Unrivaled.
You know, if you like golf, even if you don't, I think most people get into the Masters. Football, the best opening day is football. I mean, that first Sunday, let's face it. You know. We've talked about our obsession with the National Football League.
Our love.
Nothing rivals
our
NFL
love.
Opening day at this point. Because of red zone and everything. It's perfect.
They got everything.
It's like the perfect. But this is still a really fun experience. It's a fun day. I wish I could go to White Sox opening day. I can't because just the timing's not going to work out with a 3:10 first pitch. But I do. Where should I sign this?
Wherever you want to sign it, Carmen.
We're signing a Blue Moon jacket.
Blue Moon.
Blue Moon.
Blue Moon. So the timing doesn't work out for your.
No, because we have our first Little League practice at, you know, we got to be there at like 5:30. So
are you the coach?
Really, I am the assistant.
I thought the two youngsters were the coaches.
No, Toby and Christian coach our travel team.
Okay.
Those guys are more professional.
I got you.
They played college baseball at a high level. They can coach the travel program.
No, I got you.
I'll stick with Little League.
So you're an assistant coach. You don't want to not be there.
No, no, I have to be there. Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
What I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
You want
to
be there. You don't want to.
Yeah, right.
You don't want to not be there.
I am not going to be able to make Sox opening day. I might be at next Thursday's game for a little while though. So you know me. If I can get to a dozen games or so, I think that's perfect. I think it's a great number of baseball games to try to shoot for. My son does play baseball, youth baseball. So it's tough. I mean, it's just the commitment is, you know, it's 3-4 nights a week, every week for, you know, through at least through June.
Oh,
so
I know, Carl.
You know what it's like. I mean, it's a tough commitment. It's hard to make a lot of games.
I used to live at an ice rink, you know.
I know.
Living at a baseball field.
Yeah.
I used to live at an ice rink.
You want to hear some Jed Hoyer?
Yeah.
From earlier today?
I would love to hear Jed Hoyer.
What is some of the best stuff? Whatever he had to say, Chris, what is some of the best stuff we should play from Jed? I know they had a sort of like dance around the Shohei thing. You can't, like, he can't talk about Shohei Ohtani, obviously.
Of course he can't.
But do we have anything on Jed sort of
tampering?
Alluding to the biggest free agent that's going to be on the market in years this coming offseason. What's the best Jed Hoyer stuff we should play?
Yeah, that cut two, Hoyer two.
Let's hear it.
Okay. Here you go. Do you guys have the in-cues or?
I have nothing,
okay.
Christopher.
I'll just do it then.
Except your love and affection.
Do you have resources for an impact free agent next offseason?
Yes.
Here's Hoyer.
Yeah, 100%. And that's something that is really important. That I think when you talk about organizational health, you know, there was a time when our payroll did get
bloated.
We got to the end of what we could do, and you couldn't make those moves, and we're not there, which is a really good feeling. And when I look at where we are, I'm excited about where we are, but I also know, there's definitely some impact offensive potential that we could use. You certainly could always use, in front of rotation starters, and hopefully, like last time we did this, we went out and we spent a lot of money on one top of the rotation starter. We traded for another, and then Kyle Hendricks was almost a third. And so, talent like that comes from different places. You know, when we traded for Jake Arrieta, we didn't think he was going to win a Cy Young. You know, and so sometimes when we talk about impact, sometimes impact comes by paying for impact, like John Lester. Sometimes it comes from places you don't necessarily expect. And certainly my hope is that we can do both like we did last time.
It's a good answer. Sometimes you pay for it. Sometimes you get it with maybe a little bit of luck, right? Like the Jake Arrieta thing. Nobody could have envisioned that. Nobody. Not like nobody could have envisioned he was going to be Bob Gibson for a year and a half.
Yeah, and then
right?
Almost 2 years. Yeah,
like nobody could have envisioned
to
that.
To a change, really.
They obviously liked him, and
yeah.
He always had good stuff in Baltimore. He just never harnessed it. But you couldn't have envisioned that.
That was an absolute bonus.
Unbelievable,
yeah.
Right? And the Hendricks thing, that's another one. You know, just think, isn't the story, do I have this right? And I'm not a Cubs historian, so forgive me. Didn't he veto a trade originally to Atlanta and then accepted the deal to Texas, and that's how they got Hendricks, right?
I think
that's right.
I believe so, yeah.
I mean, think about how fortuitous that was. That's the weird thing. I think that's what Jed's alluding to. You never are quite certain, no matter how good you are at this job or, like, what the idea is.
The player still has to fire.
Well, and that's true, too.
The player is the one that still has to do it. And that's what you're dependent upon is management. Okay, you got somebody. He's got talent. He's got a high ceiling. Will he get there?
And
that's what you're waiting for.
Do you think the Cubs will be in at all? Remember, they were like second the first time around in the Shohei sweepstakes.
Of the two teams in town, the Cubs have got the better
of
chance
course.
Of getting
the
them.
White Sox won't even. I don't even think they'll pretend.
Yeah,
they'll just say no.
$400 million. They'll look. Go what?
$400 million. He's going to cost $500 million.
Then it'd be seven times more than they've ever paid a guy.
Yeah, it's not happening.
That's not going to happen.
It would be. Well, it'd be roughly six times.
Could
more.
The Cubs do it?
It'd be about six times more than they've ever paid anybody.
Could the Cubs do it? Yeah. I mean, would you want to excite your fan base that much? Sure. Why wouldn't you? Yes.
I agree.
Yes. I mean, but how much of this still needs to be paid for? How much debt service is there?
I don't know.
I mean,
does anybody know?
That's where your problems come. You've got to pay for everything still.
I mean, there's no reason that these guys...
And money, and then money invested in a player, how much more than can you expect to get in merchandise sales value of the franchise is going to go up no matter what.
He might be baseball's most marketable player right now. Even though he doesn't speak English all the time, we understand that he can He's just not that comfortable in interviews. But, like, he's probably baseball's certainly one of them. And so when you think about all the added revenue streams that you could, you know, that would, like, kind of come with him, I don't know why a big market team would not be in on it. L.A., Chicago, New York, Philadelphia.
San Francisco.
San Diego's not even a big market team, and they might be in it because we talked about this during Crosstalk with Cap and Hoodie. They don't care. They got a billionaire owner, and it doesn't matter. F it. We'll spend it. So they're not even a big market, and they might
be in
on it.
There is a little panache to being the best team in baseball for San Diego. Like, San Diego's the best team in baseball, period. That's it. You know, they've got they paid for the talent. They've got the talent. They're paying a luxury tax. They don't care. That's how much money they have.
It's really crazy.
And the happiest teams, if that happens, and San Diego's paying all that luxury teams, the happiest teams in baseball are Cincinnati, Oakland, Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Because they're the ones who've been reaping the benefits of all that. They're getting all the money. It's all coming into their coffers. They don't care if some guy's over in Pittsburgh coming to the game enjoying a pierogi or two, because they know they're going to get millions from the luxury tax.
Of course. There are only a handful of teams that are going to be in on it next year, but his courtship in the winter, Shohei Ohtani's, is going to be one very interesting one to follow. And will he be the sport's first $500 million player? And if he replicates what he's done the last couple of seasons this year, if he stays healthy.
Is he 28 or 29? How old?
He's, I think.
That's your dilemma. How are you going to give a guy 10 years?
You know, you're.
You know, Carmen, you keep saying, don't do it, don't do it. And then Bryce Harper got it. He got the total package.
Well, he was younger,
he also,
though, too.
I get you, but it was still a 12-year contract to get his total package. And it's still measured out at about $27 million a year. You know what I'm saying?
So
it wasn't $50 million a year. I don't know if I can see the baseball people committing to go from contracts that are $30 million a year all of a sudden to $50 million a year. That's a 66% increase.
Shohei turns 29 in July.
Yeah, 29. I mean, you're going to lock a guy up until he's 39 years old?
That's the fear.
And what happens one day if he hurts his arm? He can still play.
Well,
he can still play, but he can't pitch. Now you got half of what you bought.
Yeah, you got half. That's true.
Yeah.
That's always the risk, I guess.
Yeah.
It's easy for us to say throw $500 million
Carm,
at it.
Again, you keep going from
but
30.
But I think you make it up with him. I really do.
Who's making the most money per year, per annum? Who makes the most money?
Scherzer right now, maybe.
At what, 34? How much is
per annum? No, it's even more than that. Let me look. Hold on. I think it's Scherzer's deal.
So your dilemma is how much increase you're willing to go for Shohei Ohtani. And, you know, the whole, oh, we've never seen something like this before. He gave you 28 starts last year.
Scherzer's making 43, I think, this year, Yerk, if I have that. Like, I know last year's was 43. I think this year's, too. Yeah, this year's 43. 43.3.
So your increase isn't that much, then. You're looking at a 16% increase to get him to 50.
He's a miracle. Like, at this age that he's still pretty. Now, he had some injuries last year, too, and you worry about that. But, like, you talk about a guy that delivered and then some on a big free agent deal. Holy crap. I mean, it's just stupid what he brought to Washington. And
yeah,
just,
3-year, 130.
It's crazy. All right, we got some more Jed Hoyer we can play. We'll do that coming up next. He talked about getting the deal done with Nico Horner. So we'll play that sound for you. 312-332-3776. Benetti will join us to talk White Sox at 1. Crosstalk with Waddle and Sylvie at 2. Opening day around the big leagues. Cubs first pitch against the Brewers at about 120. So if you're getting ready to go over to the park, make sure you swing by and say hi to us at Old Crow and grab one final Miller Lite before you go into the ballpark. We'll be right back.
This is the opening day live broadcast from Old Crow Smokehouse in Wrigleyville, presented by Miller Lite. Watch the show on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
We're live at Old Crow with Miller Lite. We're going to talk to Jason Benetti about the Sox, their opening weekend series against the reigning champs in Houston, York. We'll do that coming up in about 12 minutes. Let's listen to some more of Jed Hoyer. He was a guest with Cap and Hoodie earlier this morning. The guys were here bright and early at Old Crow. We played you the soundbite about, you know, the resources that they will or won't have to go after Shohei Ohtani. Obviously, he can't talk about Shohei specifically just yet, but we played you that soundbite. How about the latest on Seiya Suzuki's injury? Of course, won't be playing right field today because of the oblique strain early in the spring, but Jed Hoyer did provide an update on Seiya with the guys earlier today. Take a listen.
He is playing defense in minor league games. He's taking batting practice every day, running the bases, I think this weekend he will start to play or start to take live at-bats in Arizona. And then hopefully once he does that for 3-4 days, he'll probably go out on a rehab assignment. So he's doing well, knock on wood. He's progressing well, and hopefully he's here in not too long.
All right, so no cuts just yet, but that's coming up. That's always the scary thing about the recurrence with those oblique, those strain, those sort of core,
side
stomach,
muscles.
Muscles. Yeah.
Because you're activating them all the time.
All the time, man.
I mean, you turn, just the simplest things you do. You sneeze, it's activated, right? Everything you do is kind of being activated there. So if you got a strain there, it's going to be problematic all the time. How do you rest it? Yeah. You rest it by being immobilized. You know, and then when you want to move, somebody's helping you move. I mean, it's impossible.
Yeah.
Once it's strained, it's almost impossible to make it right. So,
All right, one more from Jed Hoyer. This is on getting the extension done with Nico Horner. They did not get an extension done with Ian Happ. Probably not going to happen during the season. At least we don't expect it to. If the Cubs fall out of it, he is a prime candidate to be dealt with his free agency pending. But they did get an extension done for 2 years with Nico Horner. Here was Jed Hoyer talking about it with Cap and Hoodie.
We went through a million structures, but you know, Nico knew and his agents knew that we definitely wanted to get something done. And he's top of the scale in terms of people and makeup. I've been around. I mean, just an incredible kid. Wants to get better every day. Wants to be a great teammate, be a leader, and I think this gives him a chance to do that. And when we did this deal, is that don't often do an extension where you say, hey, hopefully this is the first of many, But we couldn't get aligned on a longer deal, in part because he's had such a weird progression. I mean, he shouldn't have been in the big leagues in 19, but had to be.
He had a call. He's laying on his mom's couch.
2020, he should have been in the minor leagues, but we had COVID, so there was no minor league. So he's had a weird progression, but felt like this extension was a good first step, and hopefully he's here for a long time.
All right, so there you go. They're happy to have the deal done with Nico. The Cubs really do trot out a pretty elite up-the-middle defense. I mean, say what you want about Bellinger's inability to really slug or hit consistently anymore. I don't know how to explain that. I'm not smart enough to figure that one out. But he is a very good center fielder. And then what you have on your infield up the middle is elite. I mean, and that's not an exaggeration. Dansby and Nico Horner are definitely elite. So run prevention might be the thing that keeps the Cubs in a lot of games. We'll see, Eric. But
Pitching and run prevention. Timely hitting.
Well, and it's nice when you don't have the shift to rely on anymore when you are still elite up the middle, when they don't have to rely on the shift. A lot of people think that's going to be a big problem for the White Sox.
So early on, first 30 games of the year, we'll be looking at how much shorter games are.
Yes.
What left-handers' batting averages are.
That's a great one, Yurko.
What left-handers' batting averages are. And then we'll see if anybody has sacrificed defense over the course of time for some regression in defensive statistics for teams that employed the shift and employed it liberally.
Right.
If there's a little bit of a regression and a comeback for them.
Right.
Or can they find a way to maintain defensive excellence?
What does their run prevention look like, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So there'll be some interesting thing for us stat nerds, us numbers guys that like to take a look at exactly what's happening. So 30 games, got to give it a month and change.
Got to give it at least a month.
Mother's Day, give it to Mother's Day.
You think we'll see more base stealing because of the bigger bases?
No. I don't think if you didn't try to steal on a catcher before, I don't think you're going to try to steal on a catcher now.
Man, but with the pickoff rules,
You still have to be able to do it 80%.
Yeah, you'd like to. You're
75%,
right. 75%, 80%. Yeah.
If you're going to steal at 50, why are you giving away outs? Right?
I wouldn't. No, come on. You're right
so
about
you wouldn't.
That. No way.
So there's only a handful of guys on each team that are guys that are capable of stealing bases anyway.
Yeah.
Right? Two guys per team, maybe three?
Yeah.
Some teams have more. Some teams have less. Some teams don't have a guy that can steal a base, period.
Does it make the Billy Hamiltons of the world even more valuable, or not really? I mean, it's there's still always going to be some inherent value, and the Sox sent him down to the minors. But just that does it make it more valuable now to have that one guy who can swipe a bag in a close game for you late now that the bases are bigger? I don't know that it really impacts it that much. All teams would like to have that one guy, regardless of base size. Guys, they feel comfortable with.
It's
running.
How do you make your team, Carm? Do you make them like the Vince Coleman, Willie McGee, Lonnie Smith, early 80s or mid 80s Cardinals, where they played on the carpet and they played in Busch Stadium, and it was I need a team with speed that can cover everything and can go and can steal bases. Or do you build your team with a bunch of thundersticks in there that hit three-run homers all the time?
I like thundersticking. Yeah. But well, I love how liberally we've used that term today, by the way.
I have.
Fabulous.
Well, I just talked
about all of a sudden.
It's my switch hitting guy. I named Ian Happ the switch hitting.
17 home runs and
switch
he's thundersticking.
Hey, it's my guy. I love him. And for me, he's become a thunderstick, and that's all that matters.
You were asking about the highest AAV this year.
Yeah.
Scherzer and Verlander are both making $43 million. They're on the same team.
Okay.
Judge is making $40 in the new contract. DeGrom, $37.
Yes.
Correa got $35 for going back to the Twins.
So, I mean, but if you take a look, 35 to 50 is a big number.
It is.
You know, 40 to 50 is still a 25% increase.
Yeah.
That's a big number.
Yeah.
It's a lot of numbers between 40 and 50. Yeah. So.
Yeah, that's a 25%
and again,
jump.
Those are three-year deals. You're looking at a lot of three-year deals.
Yeah.
Those are limited deals. They're not 10-year, $500 million, a half a billion dollars. They're not those contracts.
And,
not yet.
And here are the cautionary tales. You ready?
Yeah.
Tied for eighth this year. I know we got a break in a minute. Anthony Rendon at $35
million. Yeah.
Can't stay on the field.
That's not good.
And for like, those are the cautionary tales.
Right.
Strasburg, as brilliant as he was, and we thank him for 2019 because we won money with the Nationals winning the World Series.
We did win money.
And remember how great he was in Game 7. $35 million. You know, I mean, it's like, those are the ones when you talk about, wow, you're going to give a guy 10 years at 29. The Rendons. The Pujols deal.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that
scare
you. The
Pujols deal.
Those are the cautionary tales.
After probably the first 6 years.
Not even, Yurik. He didn't even give him that much.
He didn't go massive number-wise, but 6 years, he was still a legitimate player. The 7 through 10 were the painful ones.
Woof. And they didn't win
until they started playing with golf balls down there.
So he can get his
home run mark.
Yeah, to get to 600.
There's some special baseballs.
Let's send the special balls to all the Dodger or Dodger games.
And they did.
Or was it Cardinals last year? Was he back in the Cardinals? I'm trying to even remember now. Dodgers, the Cardinals, right?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, coming up, we're going to talk to Jason Benetti. We'll get the latest on the White Sox as they get ready to open up the season against the defending champs. We're live at Old Crow with Miller Lite. We're back in 2 minutes.